It is the day after the season officially comes to an end. We are happy to be joined by GM of the Toronto Blue Jays, Alex Anthopoulos. Alex, welcome to Tim and Sid. How you doing?
Glad to be on. I know Lindy would have been a little more enjoyable for you guys, but I had to step up today to come on.
Hey, so what do you think of that guy?
He was funny, actually. He came up to me. I was in the clubhouse before the game, and he said, "Man, every time I open my mouth, I end up getting in trouble or put my foot in my mouth." And I don't know if you had a chance to talk to him a whole lot or met him, but been here a long time, and he's innocent. And, I think if you go back over the years, there's always been various times where he'll say stuff. And he gave me the example that when he was a kid, if he didn't answer a question from his parents, he'd be grounded for three months. So he says if the media asks him a question, he's going to answer. So when they ask him, if you were the manager of this team, what would you do? He alluded to me, other people have media training, and I guess if he had had media training, he would have said he's not the manager of the team, which would have been the truth. But he didn't think to say that. But he's harmless. He doesn't mean any. He doesn't. He's not malicious at all. There's been times where I've read stuff with him, 2 years ago, I remember 3 years ago, and I'd call him and say, I have to follow up on this stuff. And sometimes he doesn't realize the power of his words, but he doesn't mean any harm.
If you were him, you'd have to grow a beard, one. And two, I think my dad said it to me once when I was a kid. He's like, you have no filter. And I feel like...
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's a great way to put it. And, you're right. The beard, I don't know if what he plans on. He looks like Jim the Anvil of Neidhart.
He does.
Second coming is ZZ Top. But, he had a good year for us. He was a top hitter with respect to OPS against right-handers. He missed time, but it was obviously the foot ailment that he had. But I talked to him about this too. He was so concerned about his home run totals, but his slugging percentage is identically the same. And I told him, I said, how about those years when he had a .290 on base percentage with 23 and 26 home runs?
Yeah.
And it's almost like he was more satisfied with the .712 OPS and 25 home runs than putting up an .860 or .870 or whatever it was with six. And I tried to express to him that the home runs aren't necessarily the end-all, be-all. We've had plenty of guys in this organization hit home runs and strike out a lot and not get on base and not hit for average. And he was much more productive this year, especially from OPS against righties. And to me, it was his best year since 2009.
Hmm. Alex, breaking news from the world of baseball. Just before we dive into your team here, Ron Gardenhire is no longer a member of the Minnesota Twins. It's been a 12-year tenure. Is that a guy who's going to be out of work long, you think?
Again, that is breaking news because I definitely was not aware of it. Hmm. He's so well respected in the game. I have no idea, obviously what happened there and what went into the decision. I know Terry Ryan and him go way back, so I can't imagine that was easy. But I think Ron is so well respected in the game. I think a lot of organizations would probably be, calling him very, very soon. I don't know what the next chapter is going to hold for him, but he's so well-respected. And I guess it's a surprise just because he's been there so long.
Yeah, just the tenure and what the expectations were this year, too, is somewhat surprising to me. Is there ever a day when you wake up and just say, I don't want to answer questions about this team?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All the time. And there's plenty of times that you're not in the mood or you don't feel like it. And the same way, and fans are always great, at least to me, to my face. I realize it doesn't work that way on Twitter or the internet, and I totally get it. But, like anything, you have good days, bad days. You have days you're in the mood and you're not in the mood. But the one thing is you never, I know this is going to sound corny and cheesy, but you never take it for granted. And as good or bad days you're having, if someone's going to talk to you, don't take it out on them. Don't be short. Make time because, it's part of the gig. It's part of the job. And if I'm at the grocery store or getting the coffee or whatever, sometimes I'll wear a cap and try to go camouflage. But
little Bobby Valentine incognito.
Exactly, totally. But I remember I had a guy who was getting some cauliflower and some broccoli, and I had my cap on and jeans and a hoodie, and I figured no one knows who the heck I am. And someone came up and they just wanted to talk about the team. And sometimes it's fun questions, sometimes they're not enjoyable, but they care and they follow. And You know, the minute you think you're too good or you don't have the time, you shouldn't be doing these jobs. And I don't, you know, any type of arrogance is not a quality that I admire in anybody, and I've always vowed to not ever be that way. But, you know, when things aren't going well with the team from a media standpoint, those are the times that I agree to do all the media that I'm asked to do, and those are the times I'll go down on the field. I'll make myself available. If we're winning 8, 9, 10 in a row, that's when I feel like I can lay off. I don't have to be around all the time. So right. I think in these jobs, if things aren't going well, that's when you need to be available more so than ever, because the last thing you want it to seem like is that you're bailing when times are tough and you're only around when things are going well. It's actually the opposite of what you should do.
Alex, you keep a pretty composed image in the public, and I guess the GM has to be that way. But I'm curious, behind closed doors, at what point this year were you just pissed off? At what point this year were you your angriest at what you were saying?
Oh, tons of times. But you're right. You have to stay composed. And I always wonder, the guys on the bench that can do it, it's unbelievable. Because we're watching in the box, and you know, there's sometimes the cameras will get me. And I'll ask our PR guy, can the cameras just not show me? Because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, if I'm doing something. I remember even when GP Ricciardi was here, he'd do some things in the box, and he'd be doing like swings and this and that, and the cameras would get him. And it kind of looked funny. But he'd throw balls up against the wall. Bang things, yell, scream. You just don't want cameras to catch you. Do we do that stuff? Absolutely. Are there times that you go home and you're irritated? Are there times that, you know, you would be like a fan and you're upset with performance or a player? Sure. So was there one moment? You know what? There's so many times within a game that you might get upset, or, you know, that last one in Sixth Trip, that was just tough to come to the park each day. You know, when you're going on the road and you know what, you're not really, you know, you just were not, the team isn't playing well. So I don't know that there's one specific way. I'm not a guy that flips tables or does any of that, but there's times I get pissed, upset, irritated. It's an emotional roller coaster in so many ways, and I think everyone would admit that in sports.
Yeah, especially people watching this team this year. Do you feel like 2014 was a missed opportunity for the Toronto Blue Jays?
You know what? I wish I talked to you guys earlier, because that's what I should have used. That's probably the exact way to classify it. That's probably the best way to express it. It's exactly how I feel. Missed opportunity, and I probably didn't find the words at the time a day ago when I said it. But that's really the way I feel like. And it's not so much, you know, whether you could say what happened with the division this year or the other teams. But I think with the way things went this season in the league, yeah, it was a missed opportunity in a lot of ways. And it's, you know, in years past, you say, well, you lose 4/6 of your rotation, 3 starters in 4 days, or whatever it was. Those are tough things to overcome. But I don't think losing Laurie or having lost certain players for an extended period should have been reasons that we weren't able to overcome. Everybody has injuries that are going to happen. For me, the hardest part for me to accept was, and I'm not, you know, you never see me calling out players in the media and so on. I just don't think it's productive at all. That's twofold. One, I wouldn't want someone doing it to me. Two, I think what people forget at times is there's a trade value component to all this, and we monitor everything gets said in the media. We track it. We have player files. That stuff gets put in there. You have to be careful what you say. It gives you some insight, and it can affect you in negotiations and things like that.
For sure.
You know, I'd say the bullpen was the one area that I believe, rightfully so, we really expected it to be a top five pen. You know, one of the better bullpens in the AL, and even if they were going to regress a little bit, to be middle of the pack, okay. But we just had a lot of guys not perform to expectations, their own expectations. I bet you they would all acknowledge that. And I do think, you know, did we sit there and say we expect 600 player experiences out of Brett Laurie? Not necessarily based on his past, but that wasn't going to be the reason that we didn't get in the playoffs. Did we expect the rotation to go all be Cy Young Award winners? No, but we did feel like with health, they would all give us quality starts, and if they could take the ball and we didn't have to chime into the depth, we would be okay, and we felt the offense was going to be very strong. So we got the health out of the rotation. The offense was a strength, though it was inconsistent. It was a strength. The bullpen was not, and I do think with a stronger bullpen, do we win the East? Probably not. Are we right there for the conversation for at least be playing a wild card game tomorrow? Yes, in my opinion.
So if you call this then a missed opportunity, do you regret not adding anything beyond Danny Valencia's, the Nolan Reimolds and the John Mayberry Juniors at the deadline?
No, and that's not to cop out of the question because, you know, we actually at the deadline, we talked about all kinds of players and some of the stuff was out there, some of it was not. I think after the trade deadline, because we expected, you know, at the end of July, we're expecting, I remember calling Lind, actually, maybe July 29th, just to see how his rehab was going. He was getting ready to get started and how soon he felt he was going to come back. And did he feel he was 2, 3, 4 weeks away? Because that would take us to the beginning of September. Or was he right around the corner? And we knew Brett was right around the corner. And Encarnacion, we felt, was right around the corner. And I wonder, the month of August, you know, by late July, we had pretty good indications those three hitters were going to come back, and we expected them to hit the ground running. Obviously, Brett came back, first game got hurt again, and Encarnacion took time to get going, which we didn't expect. And, you know, Lynn may have taken maybe a week or two longer than we expected, but our focus at the trade deadline, even though we were talking about some position players and some starters, I think after the trade deadline came and went, the one thing, and I never acknowledge this to the media, the one thing was we said that it would have been really nice to add a reliever or two, and those are some things we tried to do, and there was probably one guy that we engaged on that we really had a lot of debate internally about acquiring him. Ultimately, the way things panned out, I think it worked out that we didn't get him, not that he wouldn't have helped somewhat. But I think on doing it in the month of August, and I'm going to delve into it a little bit now here this week, I think the offense was clearly a big part of it, and I think the bullpen as well. And those were, I think our rotation for the most part was solid, but Sanchez came up and really solidified things and helped. But, you know, you just wonder with some of the other opportunities and some of the other guys that had a rough month, you know, some of those close games, I really think it would have swung the balance in a lot of ways.
Jay's GM Alex Anthopoulos here on Tim and Sid. Tim alluded to the on-field acquisitions and maybe the deals you didn't make. Alex, I'm curious in hindsight, your thought on what some of your veterans were thinking on July 31st, and some of them weren't shy in their disappointment. And I managed to talk to you that day, and it's something that you encouraged. Everyone should want more. Everyone should be a little pissed off and aggressive. In hindsight, because August just went into a tailspin following that, did it affect the team over those next 30 days?
Yeah, and I got asked that, like you said. I think that right after the trade deadline, I went on the radio with you and with a ton of people. I did a ton of media stuff. And that was the follow-up. Is there going to be a letdown? And I know it's an easy narrative to point to, and I certainly understand, you know, trying to link it the same way I think a lot of people tried to link Oakland trading Cespedes, and that was the reason they weren't playing well. And, you know, again, not that I followed Oakland a ton after the trades, but Cespedes was one of nine hitters, and if their offense is drying up, it's probably more than just him. And John Lester's obviously given them pretty good performances out of the rotation, especially when, you know, when they had some other guys in there that they pulled out, whether it was Tommy Malone or Brad Mills and so on. But, you know, from our standpoint, that night, right, you had all the post-mortem, I guess, of the trade deadline. It's at 4 o'clock, and I'm doing my media interviews, and the players are being interviewed, and we're playing the Astros. And we came back that night. We were down early. We came back and had a great comeback win. I mean, guys showed tremendous character, effort, all that kind of stuff. If they would have just laid down that game and just these guys came out flat and looked terrible and didn't end up doing well, and just there was no fight in them, I would have said maybe there's something to it. And then, look, we did go on to lose the next three against the Astros, but it wasn't for lack of effort. And I do believe if there's this ultimate hangover letdown, and that's not to say guys should, like I mentioned it that day, should want players and want us to add and so on, but we did catch fire a little bit at the beginning of September and start playing well. And, you know, again, I do wonder, we had some times where our starters didn't do well. I don't think Mark Burley or R.A. or any of these guys are going to take the mound and say, you know what, I don't know how I'm going to throw tonight because we didn't get somebody at the trade deadline. These guys are so competitive, and they want to do so well. And we did get hot after that, so if there was going to be some type of malaise for the next 2 months, it didn't show itself. And I know it's maybe it's convenient from my standpoint and the front office standpoint, but, you know, that was talked about a lot. Lori, Lynn, and Encarnacion are coming back. They're right around the corner. you know, Lurie didn't end up coming back, and Encarnacion was slow. He didn't perform well when he came back initially. And Lynn took a little longer than we expected as well. And I think that killed us for the month. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. I will take a look at it. But from an offensive standpoint, I think it hurt us. And also, there was some blown saves there. There was some leads that we lost. You know, the bullpen and the offense, I think, really dried up that month. And, you know, I think if those three position players are back, does it change things? And then again, if some of our relievers that we had in-house, you know, maybe if we'd had a little more success, or maybe if we'd added a reliever there, it would have changed things. But it seems like the offense was really the big story of that month.
Alex Anthopoulos joining us here on Tim and Sid the day after the end of the season. We talked about what an interesting year it was in the division and the league. And in the end, you guys end up 13 games back in the division, 5 back in the wild card. Some say, and I'll include myself in this throughout this season, that this year told you a lot about what you had. And what it told me was either you guys don't have enough right now, or you aren't getting enough out of the guys that you have. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I agree to a certain extent. I mean, there's, you know, part of the reason I've said I'm anxious, I guess, or excited for the off season is there's some areas we clearly can improve. And I think there's going to be some players available in trade and some free agents out there that would be really good fits for this club. You know, I have no idea, you know, trade, I can get into those conversations in the month of October.
Right.
With some of those clubs. Free agency, you don't have any idea until you really get started and get going to know if you're going to get them. But, you know, you can certainly be aggressive, and I do believe it's going to come down to the dollars and the years, and we're going to do everything we can to be competitive on that front. But I agree that we did find out a lot about some of these guys. I guess I just feel like if we had just had a league average pen for the AL, or maybe better than that, because we expected it to be really good. And I wouldn't have been shocked if we would have had the best bullpen in the American League this year, or top two, top three, and I always say, you know, top five. But even if we had an average pen, I think we're right there for the wild card. And that isn't the goal. You want to win the division. You want to have that long playoff series. You don't want to be one and out if it comes to that. And I know the expectations weren't there this year, coming into the year, because of the year we had in 13, but it wasn't lip service or eyewash when we said, look, we think we have a chance to do some things this year. And whether it's we have the medical information and we have more confidence in Cabrera coming back than maybe media or fans do, because they're not talking to the doctors on the phone like we are. Whether it's me going down with our staff and getting to watch Stroman with my own eyes, getting to watch Drew Hutchinson with my own eyes, getting to watch Aaron Sanchez with my own eyes in the Arizona Fall League and say, well, these guys are really close and they could help us. You know, I don't expect anybody to agree, because, you know, sometimes we have access to a little more information, or we get to get on planes and go watch some of these guys and say, hey, we think these guys can contribute next year. And, you know, we won't find the proof is in the pudding, or if we're signing a deal under Navarro and saying, look, we feel pretty confident he'll catch 100 games and have a solid bat, and we're doing some things in the office from an analytics standpoint and so on that really make us feel confident about those decisions. I understand the skepticism, because, you know, there's reason to be skeptical of some of those things. So, and I understand my job, I guess, is to be biased and optimistic, but I'm not one necessarily to come out and say I'm excited about an off season or I think we're close. I don't know that I've done that a whole lot in the past. That I'm sincere about those things. Now, part of it is I have an expectation of myself and of the front office to be able to accomplish some things this off season, and I'm excited to get a chance to do it.
Yeah. I'd love to sit here and talk for an hour, but we know that your time is limited, and I'd love to follow up on the confidence in the young guys, but I feel like I have to, for the fans' sake, ask you that, are you confident that you have the wherewithal to go out and make that gap between 13 games, or however you want to look at it, 5 games? Do you have the wherewithal to go out and get the help needed to close that gap?
Yes, and you know, part of it, is one thing I've always said. There's a ton of players that we like. We like them at a certain price. I know people like to harp on the 5-year commitment. I mean, even you take Cano. His agent called us last offseason, albeit briefly. You know, he had relationships with guys like Encarnacion and so on. And I think anybody that saw the Stephen Brun piece of Sportsnet, I mean, they're buddies. And they knew our, you know, our 5-year policy. And, you know, there was a number that they would have entertained on a 5-year deal. I mean, the AAV would be significantly higher than 24. The total wouldn't be $240 million, but there is a way to get around it in terms of length, and obviously you're going to be paying more per year. But there's players out there that we like to play, and we just at certain years and dollars, and you know it just doesn't make sense. We'd rather spend the money somewhere else. And you know we have a very good payroll, very healthy payroll. And even if you're the Yankees or the Dodgers, it's not a bottomless pit. At some point, you do draw the line somewhere. It does end. I think the contracts that we do. For the most part, you have a limit to it. So, you know, there's plenty of players I could talk about in the league right now that I said I'd love to take that player, but if he's making $28 million a year for 8 years, I don't want him at that price. I'd take him at 12 or 14 or 18, or I'd take him for 3 years at 22. So that's part of the decision-making, and a lot of that's on the office. But we've already talked a lot about trades and free agency. I've talked a lot about it with Paul. And we're going to try to be aggressive overall, at least, you know, talking to some agents and some players when we're allowed to in the month of November. And we'll see where it leads. I can't promise or guarantee anything, but we're going to definitely go after some guys, and we'll see where it goes.
Alex, I understand 8, 9, 10-year contracts. I think most of your fan base understands it's a slippery slope. There was a Vernon Wells situation in this city not that long ago that seemed like no one could get out from under, and the organization did. I understand.
Yep.
Are you telling me there's not a guy on the market this winter that you would not entertain going to a sixth year if it meant you got him?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say because there are times, and we've talked about this too, where we may say, okay, our max is 5. We'd be prepared to go 5 years on a guy. And we'd be prepared to pay X dollars a year. So let's say for the sake of argument, the totals. Sometimes what you're willing to do, you end up getting the player for less. Doesn't always work out that way. But sometimes you say, you know, we always talk about it. What's your choke point? How far would you go? And, you know, the debate is, well, you know, hopefully we don't have to go to that number. But push come to shove, you know, the question you have to ask yourself, if it meant you lose the player, would you go to this? And I think ultimately when you know that, you set a limit for yourself. Sometimes the number's less, and maybe at some point, yeah, you do a sixth year, but for the sake of argument, if it's $100 million over 5, and you can do a six-year deal at 105, even though you may have gotten them for 5 at 90 or 5 at 88, and ultimately is 6 years, but you know your cap was $100 million, and to get them, you have to go to that 6 years, but you're spending $105. Well, at some point, $5 million for the sixth year of a $20 million player right. Makes sense. It doesn't always work out that way, but
right.
I know it seems a lot more strict than it is, but there's a lot of times where, and we'll never come out and say, wow, you know, we just signed so-and-so, and, you know, he didn't realize we would have done it for more. But that's part of the decision making, and sometimes guys are adamant about the years, and it's important. And there's ways to do it where, yeah, it'll come in as a 6 year. But ultimately, I guess I'd say this: if you see us do a 6 year deal, you can feel pretty confident that that's a number we would have done at 5.
Alex Anthopoulos joining us here. Last one. I know you've been very kind with your time. A lot of people who are critical of this team say that perhaps you could have squeezed more out of your players. You've expressed your confidence in John Gibbons. Why should his 2 years in Toronto, back in Toronto, be considered a success in your mind?
I don't know that I've come out and said that. Because when you don't make the playoffs, I don't know that anyone's... We're not sitting here in the office saying, well, you know, we won 83 games,
right.
Great job.
Maybe success was the wrong word. But yeah, why does he deserve to be back for a third?
Right, well, I guess the one thing is I think there's something to be said for continuity, and that's not to say continuity is there regardless of what the outcome is or the performance is. But there's a lot of things that behind the scenes that people don't get to see. I think a lot of times everyone sees Gibby sitting on the bench. He's got his chewing tobacco, or he has his cup, or that slow walk out to the mound and so on. But I mentioned this in one of the interviews I did. There's not too often that anyone's up in arms about his in-game moves. And it's actually the opposite. I equate it to being an umpire or a third base coach. You know, there's a good send at third base. I don't think anyone says, wow, what an unbelievable day Louis Rivera had at third base today. He made some unbelievable sends. Great job. You don't get noticed if you're doing a good job. And I think in terms of your in-game, you don't get noticed if you're doing a good job and you push the right buttons, you bring the guys in. If you make a mistake, it jumps out, it becomes huge story with media, talk radio, all that kind of stuff, and rightfully so. It's the day and age that we live in. But for the most part, I think his in-game is outstanding, especially when, you know, you get to watch some of the other managers around the league. He has strengths and weaknesses and so on. Is Gibby the type of guy we're going to have do commercials for car dealerships and stuff like that? Probably not. But in terms of the respect of the players, taking care of things, when he sees something on the field that needs to be addressed, holding guys accountable. And look, some of the things the cameras caught him doing, whether it was Brett Laurie a year ago and he needed to jump him on the bench, and Brett would acknowledge he was in it wrong, but that couldn't wait until he got till the game was over. That needed to be handled there. Or Matt Melke not running hard after a ball in the outfield and the runner took the extra base. The cameras got him where he told him he didn't appreciate the effort, and that cleaned it up. And then there's other times where the media won't know that he has a good feel for this, is when he needs to pull a guy into his office and have a discussion. And that's a really undervalued part of the game. So I think he's done a great job on all those aspects there. And I do think you look at 2013, if we're second or worse in starters ERA, whether it's Casey Stengel or Earl Weaver, we're not getting to 500, let alone going to make the playoffs with that type of rotation and that type of success. And certainly you look at the current club, and we need to make some changes, but I don't blame it on the manager if maybe we didn't have the results out of the bullpen that we expected.
Alex, he spent more time with us than we expected, so we hope that your next trip to No Frills or Longo's is a lot quieter than the last one.
Loblaws. Yeah, close to my house.
And the sliced mushrooms, Alex, are amazing. Just pick those up as well with the cauliflower. It's a nice meal.
Right.
It's vitamins.
And I don't even know what I pick. I got my wife. She sends me a list.
I hear you.
I'm sitting there, and I'm just kind of going through it on my cart. Yep. I try to do it late.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
All right, so enjoy your shopping trip tonight. Enjoy your shopping trips this winter in the market, as I try to bring the two together. And thanks for the time, Alex. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Really enjoyed it.